What's the plan for our future, church? You, Salem, have prayed and shared, and after the discernment of many, we have a vision that proclaims Christ both within and beyond the church. We prayed, and our plan focuses on three areas of ministry, and we've been talking about these for the past couple weeks. These are an emphasis on Christ-called discipleship, Christ-like hospitality, and a Christ-centered community. Praise God, Salem. We have something to set our sights on. We have something to stretch our spiritual necks toward. We have something to which we can create ministries and events and sermon series and group discussions and service opportunities. Praise God, Salem. We have a goal that Jesus would smile upon. And now we're on a quest. As a church, we came up with a plan, a vision to proclaim Christ. So what's your plan to go with the plan? Where do you see yourself in the greater vision of the church? If we were preparing for a future activity that required us to be physically fit, such as running a 5K race or taking a long, long hike of backpacking, we would have a plan to our fitness to go the distance. If we were preparing for a future event requiring us to be mentally fit to make a presentation at our job or to share our knowledge about a hobby or history within our community, for instance, we would have a plan to prepare ourselves in a mentally fit way in order to inspire our organization or our community. If we are preparing to live in a future vision of who Christ wants us to be, requiring us to be spiritually fit, should we not have a plan for our fitness to grow and serve in the example of Christ? Making the vision a reality requires spiritual fitness. So may we see the church as a spiritual gym, where we can exercise ideas of our spiritual lives as individuals and also as a collective group. The church is where we bring some strength to our prayer life, thirst for God's word, definition of Christ's body through expressive worship. Do we also spot others as we flex our hearts toward our greater goal, to honor Christ, to proclaim Christ? The church, its small groups, its outreach and mission opportunities, its many ways to serve, are where we grow our spiritual fitness for the vision. So what's your plan? Where can we start, Jenny? Well, just listen in and I'm going to tell you where I think we can start. New starts begin with one step, and our first step is to offer ourselves, to commit. The Apostle Paul tells his Christian friends to offer their bodies, offer themselves, and then he tells them to find their niche. They're a gift unique to them, a gift that can only be given by them within the body of Christ. Marty and I were just talking this morning that the church is often like a football team. In order to do the greater goal of playing the game and winning the game, we as players on the team cannot be without each other. Can you imagine last night's game if Penn State didn't have a safety on their defense? We need a person in every area of gifts to fulfill the team. And when one gift is missing, well then, it's worse than a 27-26 loss. That was not a good reason to stay up that late. Paul's advice can be a guide for each one of us as we live into our vision. For our vision to be a reality, and that's what a vision is, we're trying to get to the reality where we've proclaimed Christ. In order for our vision to be a reality, each member of the body of Christ is personally committed to a path of discipleship. In order for our vision to be a reality, each member of the body of Christ is using his or her spiritual gift. Now, don't tell me that you're not gifted, spiritually gifted, or I will have to pause this sermon, preach another sermon, and come back to this sermon. But we're not going to do that. For the sake of time, let's agree that if you believe in Jesus, if you know your life is better because of him in the midst of a broken yet forgiven fellowship of believers, that's us, then a spiritual gift is within you. If you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, or you thought you knew, or you lost it in the couch cushions, don't be fretting today at all, because guess what? You are in a spiritual gym to try to get you to define it and figure it out. Our spiritual gift is discovered and developed when we commit ourselves as disciples. How we commit is key in finding and developing one's spiritual gift. So one may say, so, Pastor Jenny, should I just go out and be myself? Well, there's a difference between going out willy-nilly and just going for things. There's a difference between be yourself and know thyself. A lot of times an older sage person may say, to thy own self be true. And when we say that, what we're doing is we're saying, I'm going to be true to myself, recognizing the things that I know I need to work on, as well as trying to work toward and expand on the things I do well, which is a whole lot different than be yourself. To know thyself is to be accountable to yourself. And that's when we can utilize know thyself on a spiritual journey. So you don't get to pick your gift often. You don't get to say, I think I'll be prophecy. Your spiritual gift is often named by someone else. So while we're practicing being disciples and often come to know Christ more deeply, because we are being true to Christ, true to others, and true to ourselves, that's when we come into the abundance of Christ. And that's when we uncover spiritual gifts. Let me give you a personal story to kind of lay all that out. Before I went to seminary, I waited a year and I prayed about it before I went into the ministry. In the meantime, I was involved in a church in Carlisle that was initiating a disciple Bible study. And I thought, okay, great, this will be a great way to get a little bit of knowledge of the Bible under my belt before I go off to seminary. Well, that wasn't the purpose of me being in a small group of disciple Bible study. Each week, I came to know and love 14 people who journeyed through the Bible as we shared personal stories and prayers for one another. Being part of this committed group of Christians was remarkable. It is remarkable. My fellowship in this particular group taught me what it means to be personally and collectively committed to a goal, and that was reading the Bible to and with each other. About halfway through the year, we began to recall and affirm each other's stories, meaning we would read something and we'd point out to somebody else, well, you talked about that, remember? When you mentioned the story about, and then the person's eyes would light up and say, oh, yes, you're right. We affirmed each other's stories as we read and meditated on a God who truly carries us through every twist and turn of life. You didn't miss a week of being with people with such amazing lives. Each week we captured what God was doing in the pages of chapter and verse, and in our own stories too. We became more comfortable with each other as we began to see the transformation of faith and growth. And yes, we began to see in each other spiritual gifts. I see in you, Martha, the gift of mercy. I see in you, Ashby, the gift of exhortation. I see in you, Carol, the gift of leadership. I see in you, Jenny, the gift of serving. A wonderful thing happened, meeting each week, practicing being committed disciples. Spiritual gifts were popping out all over the place. When we run the phrase, I see in you, together, we can shorten it to the letters I, C, N, U. How wonderful it would be to create and develop a culture where our connectedness and our fellowship, our deep love for others, both stranger and friend alike, that we have I see and use popping out all over the place. Where we would develop our gift to each other of saying, I see in you, Jeannie. I see in you, Martha. And that's just it. Practicing disciples have their I see in you detector on in every place. Not one of us in the small group in Carlisle could have known how deeply we would grow. We had no idea we'd end up in a different spiritual place, a new horizon, when we started that new group. But oh, when we got there, we were dripping with the abundance of Christ. What do you say, Salem? Are you inspired to find yourself in a new spiritual place, a new horizon? Are you inspired to plan the next step of a disciple's walk? Are you ready to hang out a little more here in the gym? If your personal discipleship is top-notch, and there are several people around here who are very good at being committed disciples, although I don't think I'm one of them, then possibly your plan to be fit for the vision is to help others with their plan. Maybe it is for you to teach or lead a group as you commit to be spiritually fit. If you know your spiritual gift, consider dusting off your I see in you detector and get yourself into a new group and listen and pray for God to give wisdom to say to others, I see in you the gift of leadership. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true worship. Do not be conformed by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. It's a big verse, but most of it shakes itself out if we do one thing: offer ourselves. The rest, the Holy Spirit will make happen in our lives if we commit and offer ourselves. When we commit to being spiritually fit for the vision, the steps of getting to Christ's vision will come together and our lives will be more abundant, even more abundant, if you can imagine, if you can take it, Salem. All we must do is commit to have a plan to be spiritually fit for the vision. So find a group, a sunny back patio, a coffee shop, to commit to each other. Find a niche to serve, Volunteer with children to greet or help with hospitality. And here, this is my personal edge of commitment, to find another person in the spiritual gym here who loses sleep knowing that there are people not far from here who wonder about God and have no one to share their questions of faith. I'm looking for somebody to talk with me about that, because I want to go find those people. The church is where we come to spiritually work out, to develop our gifts, to make sure we have a full team on this field that we're on, to uncover opportunities to flex spiritual muscles. The church is the place where we often hear the phrase, you know, I see in you, Vicky. I see in you. Jesus ever goes before us. We're never going to catch up completely to him. He ever goes before us, and he's calling us to a spiritually different place, a new horizon. The church has a vision, a greater plan. What's your plan? Let us pray. Most holy God, we know that you are always transforming our lives. We know, Lord, that you remain the same, that you're always abounding in steadfast love. You are forgiving, redeeming, always creating and recreating. But Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit to offer ourselves to you. Lord, we know that we can maintain where we are. But Lord, help us to see how much more abundant our lives can be just over the horizon. So Lord, bless this church. Give us hearts that we may see your vision to proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, through our lives. Lord, give us a sense and inspire us. Give us eyes to see with mercy many others who long to join us in a spiritually different place than we are now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch our hearts. Inspire us. In his holy name, amen.